Okay, I want to welcome everybody to Sunday School class. Today is officially the shortest day of the year. Actually, all the days of the year are the same length. It's just that this is the shortest daylight day of the year. We have already been gaining some time in the evening. We've gained about a minute and a half in the evening. We're gaining about 30 seconds a day. And in about 4 or 5 days, we'll push that on up a little bit faster. So anyway, this was always one of my dad's big things. Being a rancher, daylight and so on was a big deal for him. And he kept track of when the sun came up and when it went down all the time and announced to everybody in the family which was the shortest day and all the type of things. Actually, we're losing time in the morning yet. We'll lose time in the morning till about the 6th or 7th of January. Before that starts to gain there. And once we're gaining on both ends, then it starts to go quite a bit faster. Okay, they asked me to be a sub and for this one Sunday. Grant has other obligations that he's taking care of today. And so when you're asked to be a sub for one time, it's always kind of a question as to just exactly what you should fit in. And Brian Halstead asked me if I would, and I said, well, yes, I would, but do you have a suggestion? He says, why don't you do something about Christmas? Duh. So anyway, we will do something about Christmas. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and we're going to kind of tie the whole Christmas story together between Matthew and Luke. Some of the things are suppositional. You can take them or leave them, but I think that they're interesting. And so we will talk about the various aspects of the Christmas story and what happened there on that. And it probably wasn't a winter night. It probably wasn't December 25th. thinking of that, anybody here get the paper and you get the family circus? You know, the family circus. Yeah, the one that Jesus must have missed out on a lot of presents because his birthday and Christmas came on the same day. Okay, so we'll start with Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. We'll be switching back and forth between Luke and Matthew. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we see that the Christmas story basically starts out here in Nazareth. And Nazareth was a town that was located, here we have the Sea of Galilee. This was Capernaum, where Jesus spent much of his 2 years, 3 years of ministry time, and Nazareth was over here. And so we have Jerusalem and we have Bethlehem here. So that gives us a little bit of a picture of where Nazareth was at. Now, for many years, the skeptics said that there was no town by the name of Nazareth during the time of Jesus. Nazareth is a fairly big town right now. It's about 75,000 to 80,000 people, which means that it's bigger than Mankato, about three times the size of Winona, and so it is a good-sized town. It's basically an Arab town, but in Jesus' time, the skeptics said there was no town by the name of Nazareth, until they did some serious archaeological work. And they found out that, yes, there was a first century village in the area where Nazareth is at. And if you go on the Israel trip, Doug Bookman will point out to you where the area probably was in Nazareth, which was the part which was Nazareth of Jesus' time. And they know from the archaeological work that this town was a Jewish town. They can tell this because of the pottery that is found there, and also because of the way that the graves were located. And the graves in Jewish towns were always located outside of the town, and so they have the graves ringed around there, and they think that Nazareth during Jesus' time was about 400 people. And so a town of 400 people is not a very big town. Any towns around here that are about 400 people? Grant, you know all the towns in this area. Viola is probably a little smaller than that. So we have some idea about this. So this was Mary's home. Mary lived in Nazareth. This was Mary's home. And we see that we have Joseph was also located there. And we see, I got confused here just a little bit. Okay, and her husband, this is in Matthew now. And her husband Joseph, it speaks about Joseph being there. And so why was Joseph there? Joseph was of the lineage of David, and Bethlehem was the city of David, and so he was up here in Nazareth. The area around Bethlehem is primarily an agricultural area. There's a lot of olive groves and palm trees. They grew wheat, so on, and shepherds. There were a lot of shepherds there, and there are still a lot of sheep in that area. And so, but Joseph, evidently, this was not his lot in life to be that. We know, we hear of Joseph being a carpenter. Actually, Pastor Tim took most of my Sunday school lesson last Sunday when he talked about the fact that Joseph was probably not a carpenter, but he was a stonemason. And so Joseph's father was probably a stonemason also, because in those days, basically a son took on the trade of his father and continued on with that. And so there probably was not much work in the area around Bethlehem. And in Nazareth, we have Nazareth here, and there was a Roman town that was about 3 miles from Nazareth, to the northwest from Nazareth, by the name of Sepphoris. And Sepphoris was a thriving town, Roman town. It was there until the time of the Byzantines, which was Constantine, his time. And it was considered to be the diamond of the area, the diamond of Galilee. And the reason is because of all of the ornate buildings that were built there. They have excavated much of Sepphoris, and there are some fantastic mosaics there. And if I had any more computer savvy, I could have gotten some of the pictures of some of the tiles, the mosaic tiles that were in the walls and in the floors and so on and so forth. And I spent about 45 minutes trying to figure this out and decided I'd just tell you about it. So anyway, but the tile work that is done there is just fantastic. Again, if you go to the trip to Israel, and if this sounds like an advertisement that you ought to go, it is. But anyway, there's a town by the name of Beth Shean. And Beth Shean has a mosaic tiled street that's at least a quarter of a mile long, and the tiles are all about a half an inch square. And so you have this whole tiled street with all kinds of images in that street. And that's what they were doing at Sepphoris. And then they were building their buildings and tiling mosaics on the walls there. So Joseph's father probably went to Nazareth, and they lived in Nazareth because Nazareth was a Jewish town. And so they lived in the Jewish town. Thank you, John. They lived in the Jewish town and worked over there in the Roman town. Now, Nazareth was not considered to be the best place to be from. They talked about if you were from Nazareth, could any good thing come from Nazareth? And it's kind of the same way as Minnesotans talk disparagingly about Iowa. You know, sorry, Doug. Or Iowans talk about Nebraska. You know what the N stands for on the helmet of the Nebraska football players? Knowledge. So anyway, that's kind of the way they felt about Nazareth. And so Nazareth was not an up-and-coming town. Grant just got it now. So we had Nazareth problem up there. Joseph was there, and he met Mary, and we had a romance that started there. And we see in, I got ahead of myself a little bit. But anyway, he met Mary, and he was betrothed to Mary. And so we see the whole thing about the betrothal. What does that mean? A lot of times we think of that as being the same thing as our engagement time. It was not. It was much more binding than the engagement time. They were actually considered to be husband and wife during this betrothal time, and that took about a year. So there was a year for this, and one of the reasons, there were several reasons for this. One was to make sure that the bride was a virgin. One was to allow for the husband to make a place to bring his bride, so he would prepare his home during this time. Another was, and they list this, and I'm not sure, you can take this any way that you want to, for the bride to make herself beautiful. And so this was a time, maybe she got some recipes together and figured out what her home would look like and all of these types of things, but it was a preparation time for the time when they would be living together. And so we have this 1 year of betrothal time, and we see in Luke chapter 1, I'll read this, and in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Now, the sixth month of Gabriel, this ties in with Elizabeth, her cousin, who was the mother of John the Baptist, and we're not going to go back into that, but that's what the sixth month is referring to. And he came to her, the angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And so we see the angel came and gave this information to Mary. Now, at the time that this occurred, Joseph had a decision to make. We now see that Mary was pregnant, and we see in Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his Mary mother had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So what was the decision that Joseph had to make? First off, during this betrothal time, the husband and wife did not live together. This was a time of purity before marriage, before they would come together, but now Mary was pregnant. So there was the option that an unmarried woman, according to the Jews, what was one of the things that could happen to her? She'd be stoned, all right? And so during this time, they probably were not wearing clothes that would show the baby bump the way they do today. But anyway, it probably wasn't obvious that she was pregnant at this time, but Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant. And so either if he would talk about this, and if he would let the elders of the village know this, or the priest, that they would probably stone Mary. But it says that he was a just man and was going to divorce her quietly. Now, this, as I said, this was a marriage, this betrothal time. And so if you couldn't just walk away from this, this had to be a divorce. And so he could divorce her quietly, which meant that nobody would know about this, that she was pregnant. This was the thing. Or she could he could go ahead and have her come in and live with him. But we see now that there is probably a couple of things that could have happened. One is, she could have faced scorn in Nazareth. If she was not stoned, she would have faced scorn in Nazareth from her family. This was an awful thing, to be pregnant without being married in those days, much more so than it is now. It just seems to be a matter of course. What is it? Close to 50% of the individuals, first children are born without a father, or without a father being present in the home, something like that. And so it's not near the shame that it was back in this time. So she left to go to see her cousin Elizabeth. And it says that she went in haste. And so she probably, when she found this out, she went to Elizabeth and she stayed with Elizabeth for some time. We don't know exactly how long that was. We see this in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, is where it talks about this. And it says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb, Elizabeth's womb, leapt, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." And so they had this in common, that they were both going to be mothers, both of them going to be mothers rather unexpectedly. Elizabeth because of her age and of Zechariah's age, and Mary because she had not known a man. Then after coming together with Elizabeth and after coming back from Elizabeth, we now see that in Matthew, verses 24 and 25, "When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So Mary and Joseph were now living together as husband and wife. Normally, this would not have happened until a year after the betrothal, but not easy for you to say. I need a little more water for betrothal. Okay, but so now Joseph and Mary did live together, but there were no sexual relations that were taking place. So now what would happen is if when they found out that Mary was pregnant and she began to show, it wouldn't be quite as much of a scandal as it would be if Joseph was not around. Now, the birth of Jesus in Nazareth did not seem to be a scandalous thing. They came back and they lived in Nazareth for some time, and we see that they made comment about Jesus, but there was no comment about him being that he had been born by airmail. But we see that we have in Mark chapter 6, they were talking about Jesus' ministry. He was in Nazareth at the time, in the temple. And it says, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So the people knew him as the carpenter's son. They knew his brothers and sisters. There doesn't seem to be any indication that they thought anything of the fact that his mother actually had become pregnant before she was with Joseph. So there didn't seem to be a scandal in Nazareth about this. So anyway, now Jesus was about to be born, and we see now in Luke chapter 2, we go to the story, the Christmas story, which is very commonly read this time of the year. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, there have been skeptics that have talked about this and saying that Quirinius was not the individual that was in charge at the time that Jesus was born. Actually, there were either two Quiriniuses, this was more of a title, or Quirinius came back and had two separate times that he was in charge of the country. And so further research, further archaeologists know that the Bible is true on this. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea. Now you're saying went up from Galilee. Okay, we have Galilee up here. And when we talk about going south, we usually say down. But remember, Jerusalem is on a hill. Jerusalem was the holy city. Every place that you went to, if you went to Jerusalem, you went up to Jerusalem. When you left Jerusalem, you went down from that, regardless of which direction you were going. So they went on over to Jerusalem and from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now Bethlehem is about 6 miles southwest, just a little bit from Jerusalem, because he was a house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Okay, how many of you, when you think about this, think of the idea that Joseph and Mary came from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, just got into Bethlehem, and Mary went into labor, and they had to frantically find a place for her to be. That's probably not the case. First off, they were riding on a donkey. The trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 90 miles. Okay, if you're doing this on foot, that's a really fast 3-day march. You have to be trucking along pretty good. A pregnant woman on a donkey probably is not going to make this in 3 days. So we probably have 4 to 5 days journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And so when they got there, it doesn't say that she was immediately going on in and giving birth. It's possible that David was going to go on down there, that Joseph was going to go on down and maybe try and find a job, because he was from Bethlehem. This was his lineage. Now, Mary and Joseph both were of the lineage of David. Mary came through Nathan. Nathan was one of David's sons, and Mary's line came through Nathan. Solomon was another son of David, and Joseph came through Solomon's lineage. So they both went back to David. So they were, you know, sixth or seventh or eighth cousins, which probably many of you are also and don't even know it. But anyway, so they went down to Bethlehem to be registered. But it's very possible that they went down there maybe a month ahead of time, so on. Who would travel with a wife who is imminently pregnant, imminently ready to give birth, on a donkey for a week's journey? Well, I know of a couple that decided to go from Minnesota to Arkansas and had their firstborn son 5 days after they got down to Arkansas, without knowing a doctor, a hospital, or anything like that there. We do some stupid things sometime, but when you're young, you do that type of thing. So our oldest son is an Arkie, and he's a hillbilly. But they went down there, and it's very possible that they went down there 2 to 3 months before she gave birth. And but then it talks about, you know, we have the picture of the manger and the stall and so on and animals. Remember, now, this is where Joseph is from. And so he had relatives there. And so he probably had relatives that he could stay with. Mary had relatives there. They could stay with the relatives. But there were a lot of people that came back to Bethlehem at that time to be registered. And so most of the places were really full. So it's very possible that they could have even lived in their guest home. Most of the houses had a guest room, which was on the upper floor, and that they stayed there for a while, but now they got moved on down to the manger area or to the area where the cattle were kept. Now, this is not all that unusual. If you go over to parts of Europe today, you will find out that there's a big barn, and you have people living in one part of the barn and the cattle living in the other part of the barn, or the people are living in the room above the barn. We were in Germany and went to a restaurant, and the milk was just as warm as can be. They had just milked the cow and brought the milk to the table. The cattle were about 50 feet away from us. You could smell them. And so this was where the cafe was at. Food was great, though. It doesn't say that Jesus was born in a stable. It says that he was born in a manger. And this is the trough where the cattle were being fed. And so he was placed in that. So we see that they arrived in Bethlehem. Jesus was born sometime after he got there, and then they stayed in Bethlehem for some time. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if they were wealthy, they offered a sheep at this time, a lamb at this time. If they were poor, it was two pigeons or two turtle doves. And so Joseph and Mary obviously were poor because of this, because of the offering that they gave. So they dedicated Jesus in the temple after the 8 days. But we also have the shepherds that were involved here. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, why were the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks? There's a couple of reasons. One is these could have been temple lambs or temple sheep that they used for the sacrifices. I don't think so, because we're about 6 miles from Bethlehem, from Jerusalem, where the sacrifices were being made. So I think that these were farmers that had sheep out in this area. You go to Bethlehem, you see all the fields there. We think of Christmas, December 25th. Jesus was probably born sometime in late April, early May, someplace there. The reason the shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flocks was because of lambing time. Now, sheep are not the most intelligent of animals. If you have sheep that are, and we had about 400, 450 ewes on our ranch for a while, so I know a little bit about them, more than I really care to know, I guess. But anyway, you don't, if you have the sheep crowded together when they lamb, they will not keep track of their lamb, because they know their lamb by the smell. And if they get the smell of another sheep on them, another ewe on them, then they won't accept that lamb. So you have to separate them, or as soon as a lamb is born, you have to take the ewe with her lamb or lambs and separate them until they have an opportunity to kind of get to know each other. And so this was and sheep herders today, during lambing time, it's a 24-hour job. You're out there, somebody is out there with them all of the time. And so this was probably during lambing time, which would have been in the spring of the year, and that's one of the reasons why they were out there. So they now came and they worshiped Jesus at where he was born. The angels came and they announced this. They went to see Jesus, and they worshiped him there. Now, we also have the story of the wise men. Now, it says the wise men came from the east, and so we see the wise men came from this area, so on over here. Sometimes it talks about them being kings. They were not kings. They were magi, astronomers, something like that, but they were in this area, and they came on up with their camels and came on down to Jerusalem first, found out about Bethlehem, went down there. Okay, so there were not necessarily three. We don't know how many wise men there were. This trip was about 1,000 miles, depending upon how which road they took. And so by camels aren't noted for moving terribly fast. And so this is a fairly long trip that they have. It took quite a while. But it says that they saw the star in the east. And this is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced greatly. And so we see that they were over here. They saw the star in the east, which is over there, but it led them to Jerusalem, which is over here. Well, when it says that the star was in the east, there are two things that you could think about. One is that they themselves were from the east, or that this was the rising star, the first star that you would see, the last star that you would see in the morning. And so this was a star in the eastern sky in the morning that you would see, and then they followed that. Now, what was this star? There are several things that we conjecture as far as this star is concerned. Oh, one of the things is that they had the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is why people feel that there were three. And all of your manger scenes will always have three camels there with three wise men, so on. They did not come at the same time as the shepherds. They came later. They came at a time within 2 years after Jesus was born. But they came to a house where Jesus was now staying. And so we have, what was the star? There are some people that say it was a nova or a supernova. Johannes Kepler, who was a German-Danish astronomer, felt that it was a supernova that occurred at this time. Chinese records show this, which is an exploding star. The problem with that is that this was just a one-time event, and this exploding star would not have necessarily stayed in the area for 3 months, 4 months, however long it took them to get to Bethlehem. Another one is that there was a comet, that this was a comet that came there. Okay, a comet has a tail, and they say that the tail would have pointed right to the house where Jesus was at. But again, we're talking about this over a fairly long period of time. Another thing is that they talk about this being a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. Right now, we're at a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. Just right after the sun sets, when you see the first stars, there is a fairly bright planet, which is actually two planets together, Jupiter and Saturn, that are in position so that you see the light from both of those. Now, there used to be an astronomer at the University of Minnesota. He was of Latvian origin, and he had a very interesting presentation that he made. It took about an hour and a half about why this was the Star of Bethlehem. And he would go through and talk about this phenomenon of these two planets coming together and how they could have lasted for, showing the wise men that something had happened, they got started, and then again appeared when they got close to Bethlehem, so they would know exactly where that was. And this is the situation, what happens here, why this might be. And I'll very quickly try and go through this. You have these two planets that are circling the sun. They are circling at different rates. And so if you have one planet, the Earth is over here and you're on the Earth. The sun is here, these planets are up here. Okay, as those planets are circling, we get to a certain point, one of them is circling faster than the other, they get to the point of where they are together. If you've gone to a track meet and you watch runners going around the curve, there'll be a certain time when they are right together as they're going around. That's what's happening here. Then as they continue on, and now we get around to here, there's going to be another time when they are together also. And so they say that this could be the length of time that we have. You have to go through a considerable amount of mental gymnastics to be able to make that work. So actually, even though it is an interesting phenomenon to think about, I think that this was a Shekinah glory, much the same thing as what God used to guide the children of Israel through their 40 years of wilderness wandering. But so they got down there. And once they got there, the wise men came, they worshiped Jesus, they gave him the gifts, and so on. And then Joseph was warned that he should go to Egypt because Herod was going to be killing any potential kings. Now, this is where you have the babies that were killed. There's been individuals that have talked about this, that Herod, there's no official record of Herod killing off a massive number of babies during this time. Bethlehem was a town of probably 300 to 400 people. Town of 300 to 400 people is going to have how many babies under the age of 2? There are not going to be hundreds of babies under the age of 2 in this town. Now, any babies being killed is a horrific thing, but there were probably not more than 10 babies. And for Herod, that was just one afternoon's work. Herod killed 3 of his wives, he killed his sons, he killed an uncle, he killed a brother, and so killing people was just something that, you know, this was just a normal thing for him to do. And so this would not have made the front page news. And so this is one of the reasons why we don't hear about this in literature of today. But Joseph and Mary were now able to go on down to Egypt. So you're going from Jerusalem on down to Egypt, spending some time down there, and then coming on back after he found out that Herod had been killed. And now, what financed that trip? The wise men. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each one of these gifts was probably the equivalent of a year's wages. And so that's one of the reasons why we know that the wise men weren't there with the shepherds, because if they would have brought those gifts, Joseph and Mary would have had to use a lamb at the temple rather than the turtle doves. They were still poor at that time. But the wise men brought these gifts. This helped to finance their trip down to Egypt, back down to up to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem. And then again, because of the ruler in Bethlehem, and it seemed that the ruler and the Herod split up the area into three of his sons. And the son, which was in charge of this area up in here, he was a little bit kinder than the other two sons, and so Joseph decided to go back to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus then spent his time. Okay, just a little bit of some of the historical things about there. Some of this is suppositional. Some of it, I think, makes good sense. And I hope that it's interesting and will be something that you can apply as you think about the Christmas story. Shall we be dismissed in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Christmas story. We thank you, Lord, for what it meant, that it led to the cross and to the redemption for our sins. We pray now that you would guide and direct in our service to follow. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.